copy of this message, or if you want to support this ministry with a tax-deductible contribution, write us at Post Office Box 5791, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71307. Again, that's Post Office Box 5791, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71307. And if you need prayer, call us at 318-715-8920. 318-715-8920. Be blessed of the Lord, for God is still on the throne.
It's gonna be all right.
This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria.
No need to worry.
The gospel is on the radio
be all right.
At 88.1.
You put your hand.
Call up somebody. Tell them it's going to be all right. KAYT.
No worry.
Got the gospel
be all right.
Transmitting. All day.
All right.
It's gonna be all right.
It's really gonna be all right.
It's gonna be all right.
Jesus.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast. Brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church. Pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II. One church ministering in two locations. 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all.
Amen, amen. Would you get your Bibles and stand on your feet in honor of the word of the Lord. Dear God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you afresh for this wonderful opportunity. Our hearts right out of the text. Meet us and minister to us there. And then, God, lift us to the place you'd have us to be. We thank you in advance for what you shall share with us and show to us by your word. And, Lord, we pray that this word would not fall on deaf ears, but we would be not only hearers, but doers of your word. It is in Jesus' name we pray. And the people of God said,
amen.
Amen. God bless you. Turn your Bibles to the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. For we are preaching out of this book dealing with faith. The faith that's so necessary for the believers to understand and practice on a daily basis. And everything that we are sharing about faith is so that you can not only know it, but do it. And sometimes folk misunderstand what faith is and how we're supposed to operate in it. And it is my desire through teaching and preaching that we'll have a better understanding of faith. Verse 5 of the 11th chapter of Hebrews says, by faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. This word is a word to help us understand how to please God in our daily walk. This is a word that's helpful in us understanding what God desires from us. You know, many of us have misconceived notions and ideas about what it takes to please God, what God is looking for. Many folk miss the mark because they don't know the target. And our desire is to help us see the target and hit the bullseye as much as we possibly can. Because we're not perfect, we're going to mess up, we're going to miss it, we're going to fall short, we're going to have situations and circumstances that prevent us. But with all that in us is, if we walk by faith and not by sight, we will be more inspired and inclined to hit the bullseye. Tell your neighbor, hit the bullseye in walking with God. Now, this word, again, is interesting because here, this chapter that talks about faith being the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, how it walks on and talk about how the elders obtained a good report, how it continues on and tells us through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, and those things that are existing now that we see were not made by things that do appear. And then it talks on about Abel giving a more worthy, excellent sacrifice than his brother Cain. And then from that, that God speaks of his gifts and he brags on his gifts because his work and work ethic was to give God the best that he had. His brother, by contrast, gave God less than his best. Matter of fact, he gave God what he did not want. And so when we begin to walk through this chapter, this famed chapter, as it's been known as Faith's Hall of Fame, you'll see various characters, personalities, and how God highlights and spotlights different things about them that will help us on our daily journey as believers who live by faith. We get now to Enoch. Enoch's name means dedication. He's the son of Jared. He's the father of Methuselah. You know Methuselah, the longest living man, 969 years. But interestingly enough, Enoch only lived 365 years. He had all of his children, and by the time he was 65 years old, he discovered God, a personal relationship with God. He then commenced his walk with God in such an intimate and personal way that he is listed in Faith's Hall of Fame because of his walk. Now, my brothers and sisters, I think it's interesting that we would look at this, because if we truly desire as believers, as we grow and as we mature in the things of God, to desire to please God in our inward parts, it is through knowing the word and knowing what pleases God and duplicating it. We don't have to reinvent the wheel. We don't have to come up with some super spiritual way that we think God wants us to do this and do that and something that's never been done before. No, God wants you to take his word, understand his word, and practice his word. And then you shall profit from his word. And so it's all about his word. Listen, if Romans 10:17 says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, then that means that discovery comes through the word. And the word builds your faith. The Bible is clear about Romans 12:3. Every man having a measure of faith. And so you need to understand, you've got faith. The question becomes, where have you placed it? But then Paul writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7. Listen, for we walk by faith and not by sight. Now, that's doing. That's an action that is a byproduct of faith. You discover what you ought to be doing in Romans, and you do it in 2 Corinthians. But then James picked it up and says in chapter 1, verse 22, he says, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. So James picks it up and said, if you discover it in Romans and don't do it in 2 Corinthians, then you're deceiving your own self. And listen, the worst deception one can have is of them own selves. It's bad enough that somebody else deceives you. But when you deceive yourself, there is no salvation from that. And so, my brothers and sisters, God wants us to discover his word. Our faith gives us, through the word of God, what we need to act upon. It is in the doing, the developing of our faith. Listen, doing helps to develop the muscles of our faith. You can just hear it and nothing happens. See, sitting here on Sunday morning saying, preach, preacher. Talk, say that. Amen, glory, hallelujah. All that, that's good. But if you never take what you heard and begin to put it in action and do it, it profits you nothing. Doing the word. If not, you're deceiving your own self. So it's important to understand what God wants from us and then follow those who are in the Hall of Fame who shares with us and show us by way of scripture what they've done. And if what they've done please God, then if we do the same thing, it'll please him again. I wish I had a helper in the house. Listen, Enoch was translated by faith. What does that mean? He was changed and made fit for dwelling with God. Translated literally means God caused him to be changed and made fit or ready for heaven without dying. Now, he had to be translated because flesh and blood could not inherit the kingdom of heaven. So God had to do something to him to make him fit to be in heaven with him without dying, because the record says that he should not see death. But that ain't no big thing for God, because God took a fish one day and he literally changed the fish from the natural tendencies of fish and the natural chemistry of fish and made the fish a temporary taxi. Y'all know the story about Jonah, don't you? He ordered the fish to wait at the boat until the process of elimination was over and they threw Jonah overboard. And as soon as they threw Jonah overboard, the fish that God had changed caught Jonah and carried Jonah 3 days and three nights in his belly and then spit him out on the seashores of Nineveh. But listen, had it been a regular whale or great fish, the digestive juices, y'all not hearing me here, would have killed him, destroyed him, or damaged him, so that when he would have been puked out, spit out, he would have been good for nothing and for nobody. But the fish delivered him and let him off at Nineveh. And he got up, got himself together and led a 40-day revival and saved all of them. I wish I had a helper in the house. God is used to changing folk without killing them. Lord, I wish I had somebody in the house. Any change folk, anybody who used to be this and now they're that? He was translated that he should not see death. Look at what the word says. And was not found. That was no gravestone. That was no tomb. That was no place found where they say, here lies Enoch. Because God took him. But listen to this interesting thing here. If you know the story, you'll know that he walked with God 300 years. 300 years. He started off walking with God, I'm sure not with the intention of walking 300 years, but walking with him daily. See, one of our problems is we try to chew off more than we can handle. Just try walking with him one day at a time. Stop trying to live a whole year, a whole month, a whole week. Just try living one day. Sometime one day is hard enough. But he started off walking with the Lord one day at a time. And he started walking with God, communicating with God, learning and discovering things from God, and getting closer to God. As a matter of fact, the longer he walked with God, he enjoyed God's conversation more than he did man's conversation. He walked with God so long till he couldn't imagine a day starting, continuing, and ending without talking with God. You know how it is when you first fall in love. I just call to say, y'all gonna act all holding on me. Hang up after a few minutes because you had a little break, you had to go take, get some water and all that, come back. What you doing? Lord, I hate when y'all act holier than thou. Get on the phone, talk for hours, get sleepy. Don't say nothing for a few moments, both of you quiet. Then you come back and say, you sleep? I ain't sleeping. I'm sleepy, but I ain't sleeping. Just could not imagine communicating with that person. And that's how it got to be with Enoch and God. It was such a wonderful experience that every day he grew closer and closer to God. Let me tell you what it's going to take to walk with God. First thing it's going to take is character. But here's what you need to know. If you don't have it when you start, just keep on walking. Because the more you learn about God and his character, you desire to be more and more like him. The things that he'll show you, he'll reveal to you, he'll give you understanding and revelation about, brings your character to a whole new level. Say, if you want to walk with God, you got to have character. Come on, talk to me, somebody. Tell your neighbor. Say, neighbor, if you want to walk with God, you've got to have character. Got to have character. Look, God don't allow no anybody to walk with him. You ain't going to just up and attach yourself to God. Tell my God what's going on. Not you. No. Sin and the Savior are in diametrically opposite places. They can't come together. So God doesn't like sin, don't care nothing about sin. So the reality is you have got to walk in character. You've got to have those things about you that mimic God, that are mirrors to God, that reflect God, that says you're God's child. Character. But not only must you have character, because character produces an intimate communion. See, that's what God really wants with us. communion. He didn't just make us for us to be here and do whatever he or we want to do. He wanted us to commune with him. We were created to make God's praise glorious. All of his creation, in one way or another, praise him. But we are his chiefest creation. And he desires our praise more than any other creation because he's given us a free will. And he's given us the ability to do or not do based on our character, based on our relationship with him. And so when we begin to understand that God wants communion with you, he doesn't just want you to show up in his house on Sunday mornings or in Bible study or prayer service or just one or two times or three times or so a week. He wants to fellowship with you daily.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
He wants you to tell him your intimate secrets. He wants you to say to him, God, I've been thinking about doing such and so. What do you think about it? He wants you to confide in him. Say, Lord, I got this thought. It's not right. I need you to take it out and cleanse me. Lord, I search my heart. When you find what shouldn't be, take it out. Strengthen me. I want to be right. I want to be whole. He wants you to come to him and say, Lord, I want to do this, but is it your will? He wants you to commune with him, discuss with him. God, I'm looking for a job, but here's the problem. I don't want to do anything that does not bring you glory. Does not please you. Does not speak of me being your child and you get glory from it. God, I'm looking for a mate. Now I know she looks good. Or I know he's fine. But does he please you? Does she please you? You see, because what I need you to understand is this marriage needs to be a covenant marriage. It's not just her and me or him and her, but it's her and me and you. Him and her and you. It's not two-sided, it's three-sided. So when they get to acting up, I can say, God, you say it. Talk to your child. Can I get a witness in the house? Wouldn't it be so easy when they're acting a fool that you can just go down on your knees and call God up and say, you better have a talk with him. I need you to step in here right now. Right now. A minute later might be too late. Now you need to help them or help me. But we need help in the house. He wants you to commune with him. Tell him all about your troubles. And watch God hear and answer your prayer. But thirdly, you need something else. And that's commitment. I told you Enoch's name was dedication. It meant dedication. See, you've got to be committed to walk with God. There are going to be things that come up in your life. Storms that hit your life. You'll be sideswiped by the enemy. Unexpected ambushes will come upon your life. You wake up happy and start your day feeling joyous. And before the night comes, you're broken, in pain and heartache and more than it has ever known in your experience. But when you're committed to God, you run to him instead of from him. When you're committed to God, You say this too. Shall pass. You say like Job, even though you've lost all your children, you've lost all your property, you lost all your cattle, what you have not lost is your commitment to God. You said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, naked shall I return. The Lord give, and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You're committed. When folk want you to give up, folk want to talk about you, say things about you, you hold on to God's unchanging hand. You're committed. You don't turn on God. God, why are you allowing all these things to happen to me? What you don't understand is behind the scene, God's been bragging on you. You may not understand it right now, but God's been in the meeting with Satan, and Satan has been bringing all kind of accusations against you, and saying you're not this and saying you're not that, and you can't take this and you can't take that. But I put him to a challenge, because I knew you would stay committed to the course. Have I got a witness in the house? Got to stay committed to walk with God. And the Bible says he was not found because God had translated him. God took him. Not death. Not man, but God took him. But this is what I love about this verse. It says, before his translation, he had this testimony. And I could park my car and get out right here on testimony. Because I need to tell somebody, before you can have a testimony that you please God, you got to get ready for the test. Nobody pleases God without a testimony, and you can't have a testimony without having some tests. And the greater your test, the greater your testimony will be, and that will please God. Because you've got to be committed to go through the test. And so he had this testimony that he pleased God. He pleased God. He pleased God. Now the question is, are you pleasing God? See, you got to know that in your heart of hearts, and I need to throw this out parenthetically here, that you don't have to wait till you die to know whether or not you please God. Well, I guess I'll wait till I die and I'll find out if I pleased him. It may be too late. No, you got to know in your heart daily, walking with him, that you please him. One day at a time. Talking to him, walking with him, trusting him, leaning on him, depending on him, knowing he'll never leave you nor forsake you. He's not a man that he should lie. Whatever he promised you, he will bring it to pass. And you're committed to that. And knowing that you serve a faithful God. He had this testimony that he pleased God. When life is over for you, will the same be said about you? You see, what you've got to understand is it takes some of us longer than it takes others of us. His son, who lived 969 years, he didn't have that testimony. His father did not have that testimony. But just naming Jared and Methuselah says to me that you might have a family that might not have that testimony. But it don't mean you can't have that testimony, that you pleased God. Maybe nobody else around.